No.
I said nice.
Oh, nice. Oh.
What'd you think? Nine!
This is not Germany. Not yet.
Trumpican.
Yeah.
Oh,
Trump 2020.
Yeah.
Four
more
years.
All right, Romans chapter 10, verse 16. Let's get some Bible study in. That's what we're here for, amen?
Yeah. Need some hope.
I just crack up. I have people complain.
You spent 20 minutes on your current event study and only 10 minutes Bible study.
Newsflash, folks. Number one, it's a two-parter. Amen. So if you watch part two, it's all Bible study. And the second point is, just shut up. And if you don't like what you're seeing, turn the channel. I'm not here to try to get a big audience. I'm here for Bible believers who want to learn the Bible. And that includes knowing what's going on in the stinking world. Amen. Christians are among the most clueless people walking the planet, and it's a shame and a disgrace. And anybody attends here, we're going to let you know what's going on in the world. So, did you say something? Okay. Well, let's open with a word of prayer and get into the Bible study. And we'll ask Brother Doug in the back if you would open the Bible study prayer.
Lord God, just thank you for this time. And we just pray that what Greg is about to tell us, that he brings out the nuggets so we can enjoy that, the meat of the word. And pray strongly for that, Lord, and pray strongly for this country. And we pray strongly for Donald Trump and family. Jesus,
all in Amen. So we left off at Brother John teaching verses 14, 15, a nice, neat little thing there that if you look in it's in reverse order.
Amen.
That we need to send, and we need to send preachers.
Yeah.
And that's the only way they'll hear, and that's the only way they'll believe.
Amen.
And we'll let you look that up.
Yeah.
Well, yes. So, God has sent preachers, is what we're about to see. The gospel has been preached, but most will not hear and believe. And you'll find that if you are already doing what you're supposed to do, you're already seeing it. People don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
You'll give them a gospel tract, and they'll say, what's this? And as soon as you say it's a tract about Jesus, it's the gospel, or whatever, however you say it, they'll just look at it. And I think some people throw it in the garbage behind the window as they're taking their drive-thru order or whatever. They'll throw it in the garbage before they even look at it. But you know what? You and I are commissioned to get the gospel to them. What they do with it is between them and,
Amen.
And God.
Amen.
And I disagree with some great preachers of the past and even the present. And John and I have talked about it because we both come from the background where we're taught that the reason why people aren't being saved is because of you.
Yep.
You're to blame. If you were to do the right thing, if you just were right with God and you did this and you did that, people would get saved. And that's hogwash.
Okay.
Noah did the right thing and no one got saved in his family.
Yep.
Lot did the right thing. And no one got out of Sodom, including his own wife, didn't get out of Sodom alive.
Yeah.
She got out, but not alive. And the Bible says these last days will be as it was with Lot and with Noah.
Yeah.
What's going to happen? You're going to watch most of the people you love go to hell.
Yeah.
If not, Jesus is a liar.
Yeah.
I don't think Jesus is a liar.
No.
So what do? We keep preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Keep preaching the gospel. But they all say no. Wah! Quit your whining and keep preaching the gospel.
Amen.
Then once in a while you see one get saved, praise the Lord.
Amen.
But that's the reality of where we live. And you got people who give up and stop because they don't see a bunch of people getting saved. Well, shame on them. Verse 16, though, picks up where it says, they have not all obeyed the gospel. It doesn't say that the gospel wasn't preached. It says they have not obeyed the gospel. So let's go ahead and read. We're going to read 16 through the end of the chapter. I don't know, we'll probably cover it all because a lot of it's, I always call it narrative, where you don't have to spin your wheels. But let's read from verse 16 to 21. You read the odd verses with me. I'm going to start in verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now that's a quotation from Isaiah 53. Now pick up with me in verse 17, read the odd. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. All God's people say amen.
Amen.
And I want to mention that. All murders. I want to mention, though, that I made a comment about people complaining about the. There were a couple of people who complained about the current events update, and they didn't realize, for whatever reason, that it was a two-part message. Once they realized that, they stopped complaining. And I just want to say, I'm not talking about you whining. That's a legitimate question. If we have a 30-minute broadcast or a 30-minute video and only 10 minutes of it is Bible study, there would be a problem.
Yeah.
But once they realize, oh, there's a part two, the entire thing is, most of the time, the entire thing is Bible study. Sometimes you might end a little early and put a hymn on the end. But I just want to make that clear. There are some, though, who are just whiners. And that's why I made that comment. You see, I'm sensitive. I try not to hurt people's feelings needlessly.
Aww.
But there are some people I just enjoy doing it. I just enjoy hurting their feelings. And it's according to the person. But what does it mean when it says there that they have not all obeyed the gospel? That, do you know that's, there's several references in that is used by people who want to teach that there's works involved. See? Oh, it says obey the gospel. You don't just believe. Isn't that, have you ever heard that? That's what you will hear. Let's turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Just to look at one of the places where you'll see this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Thank you for the coffee, my dear wife.
Aw, I love you.
Amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. You see, it is a biblical thing for you when you are troubled by what's going on in the world to just think, well, this is temporary. Jesus is going to come back and destroy all this.
Yeah.
The Bible says that's a restful thought. To the Christian.
Yeah.
If you're unsaved, you're in trouble. But to the Christian, as my wife would say, it's all going to burn.
Amen.
So don't lose your mind, lose your peace over what's going on in the world.
Amen.
You see these cities on fire when these Joe Biden voters are burning down their cities? That's nothing compared to what's going to happen when it's all said and done.
You can tell California being on fire, all those fires.
Yeah, forest fires and everything that they lie to you and say wasn't caused by their own policies. Their own policies of not cleaning up the brush and kindling. Their own policies related to their stupid system where they can't even keep the electricity on. Do you realize it's that actual? Not only are they not able to keep their electricity on, but those boxes and smart boxes they're using that their liberals in Worthington are putting in here, they cause fires. And you'll find out more of that when you start seeing fires around here probably. But what's going to happen in verse 8? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. And what? Read that with me. And that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that phrase is found several times, and I love this. It's found right smack dab in the middle of a reference to the second coming of Christ. What's going to happen to those people who do not obey the gospel? Read verse 9. Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power? Verse 10, read it. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The context and the text itself answers the question. What does it mean to obey the gospel in verse 8? It means to believe in verse 10. See that? The Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. And it contains basically its own dictionary. You want to know what obey the gospel means? Right in the context, it tells you what it means. Who's going to be he's going to be glorified in the saints and to be admired in all them that do what?
Believe.
So that's what obeying the gospel really believes means, is to believe. Go back to your text there in Romans. As you turn there, 1 Peter 4:17 says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Flaming fire and vengeance." That's what's going to be on those who do not obey the gospel of God. So it's not works. And we saw that. Let's go back to how Romans started. Go to Romans 1.
Can I just interject something real quick?
Yes, you may.
So, in Acts 17, he also commands all men everywhere to repent.
Yes.
It says, we don't have that, 1730. At the times of this ignorant God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent.
Amen. So how did the whole thing start here in our study of Romans, chapter 1, verses 1 through 5? First verse identifies the author, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. And where'd it come from? Well, it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Verse 2 says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And who is this gospel about? Verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now read 4 and 5 with me. And declared to be the Son of God. Well, hold on.
I'm not there. What was it, Romans 1?
Romans chapter 1.
Okay. Sorry.
Verses 4 and 5.
No.
You there?
Yeah.
Read it with me. And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations. For his name. See, the obedience is not works, it's faith. It's obedience to the faith. That means you submit to the faith. You believe the faith. And the faith is the gospel, begins with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who is described above. And it includes his coming in fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and implies the crucifixion, as he is by the resurrection from the dead made to be our Savior. And if he had not done that, we would still be lost in our sins. So back, that's how Romans starts. Well, let's look how Romans is going to end when we get there in about 6 months. Romans 16:25-27, the last three verses. Verse 25 begins, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." Read 26 and 27 with me. "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." So there you have it. In the first five verses, the last three verses, our text that we're reading this morning, the obedience of the gospel, to obey the gospel, is to receive it, to submit to it, to to believe it. And if you don't do that, you have nothing to look forward to but judgment and wrath, because you have sinned against a holy God and your works don't pay for a single sin. It's not about works to pay for sin. It's about you violating God. God dying in your place to pay for your sins, shedding His blood that you might not have to pay for your own sin.
Amen.
If you will only turn to Him and trust in what He already has done for you, then you will not have to pay for your own sin. But that's what's wrong with religion. Christianity, Christians don't like to hear this. We're going to talk about it in our Bible study later. But Christianity is a religion. The question is your religion about you or about Jesus? Christianity is, true Christianity is all about Jesus, what He has done to save us. All other religions, including the pseudo-Christian cults, like the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Watchtower, Mormons, whatever, they believe that it's all about you. You have to perform certain deeds and do a certain number of works, a number of which you are never given. No one's ever been told, you did enough, we're sure, you're going to heaven right now. Or you're going to heaven if you die right now. They'll never tell you that, because they don't know. They've got this system of works, and it's all about you performing. Christianity is all about Jesus performing on our behalf. That's the major difference. Well, I'll give this quote I got from J. Vernon McGee. I was reading his commentary on this. He says, "While we are amazed at the great number of folk who tell us that they have received Christ because of our ministry, when we look at the total picture, it is a very small minority. Who hath believed our report? Not very many." When did he say that? 1983. Already by 1983, the men of God were noticing there's a huge drop off in the number of people getting saved.
Yep.
That's the year I got saved.
As the year Jenny came in.
Aww. September 83.
Praise the Lord for that.
God in under the wire.
Good job.
No, God is good to me.
So then, how does a sinner come to faith in the gospel in order to be saved? How does a sinner obey the gospel? Read verse 17 in Romans 10. Are you there? Read verse 17 with me. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that you are hearing with your ear. You can be hearing with your eyeballs.
Yeah.
Deaf people do that. You can be... You don't have to be in a church service under a preacher. How many of you were saved and you weren't answering a sermon invitation or whatever? Well, most of you. See? Now, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, no one get the wrong idea. I've had people say, because we have a video on Billy Graham, and one of the problems was the way he did altar calls. If you came forward truly got saved, it doesn't, you know, regardless of whether you were truly sincere or not, they would send you to apostate churches, to the Catholic Church and everything.
Yeah.
And so that's our problem with it. But if you got saved at a Billy Graham crusade, you're saved.
Amen.
I mean, we never said that, but people read into what you're saying all the time.
I think a lot of people got saved.
A lot of people. And I said this about, you know, Jimmy Swagger. I mean, Jimmy Swagger got caught hanging out with prostitutes and all that kind of thing back in the late 80s. It was a big, big shameful thing. And even Tammy Faye and Jim, as nutty as those people were and are, he's still nutty. He's got his own show, Hawking Survivalist stuff and everything. But if he preaches the gospel and you realize you are unsaved and on your way to hell and you repent toward God with faith in that gospel message, you're saved. It even works beyond that. I mean, after I was saved, I didn't eventually buy into the Pentecostal tongue speaking stuff. But Jimmy Swagger, a couple of his sermons really got to me. about the need to live for the Lord and stop living for myself.
Yeah, amen.
And Dwight Thompson is Rod Parsley's cousin, and he's a nut. But he preached on abortion, and I mean totally transformed my thinking on abortion. Up to that point, I was told in school and everything, it's a blob of tissue, and my body, my choice, and all that stuff. And after he got done, I realized how stupid that is.
Amen.
That it's not a blob of tissue. And since then, obviously, we've seen the ultrasounds. But it's not a blob of tissue, and it's not your body. That baby in your body is not your body. Therefore, it's not your body, your choice. You kill that baby, it's murder. But Dwight Thompson's the first one. Now, I'm sure later on the Holy Spirit would have worked on me, obviously, but that's when it happened. I give credit where it's due.
Amen.
I mean, why do you think one of the reasons I'm so rich is because these TBN preachers told me to open my wallet and say, "You're so full of money. You're so..." Obviously, that didn't work. I'm still poor. What's that one? Marilyn Hickey? You guys know who Marilyn Hickey is? She's a really old now, but back then she was not quite, but she looks really bad now last time I saw her. But she red hair, had that curly red hair, short hairdo, and real thin, almost looked anorexic and everything. And she'd wag that bony finger at you, you know, and she'd say, "You need to open your wallet and look inside there and say, you're so full of money. You are so full of money, and I am so wealthy." And that was, I tried it.
Didn't work.
That was like 1990. I was still a baby in Christ. But I was like, what? Well, you know, hey. I also played the lottery in 1990. There are a lot of things I did in 1990 as a baby Christian that I wouldn't do now.
Good year.
Anyway, enough of my testimony. So hearing means to receive and accept the truth of God's word. It's that simple. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now there are conditions that have to be met. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13.
Yeah.
And here's another one that later in life, late 90s sometime, this really, really hit me what this means. Really changed my perspective. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Jenny Albaugh, if you're there, read that.
1 Thessalonians 2:13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe."
Now, let's look close there. It starts with what we read in Romans 10:17. "You received the word of God which ye heard of us." Faith comes by hearing. But what's it mean to hear? Well, he says right there, "Ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God." When I go door to door, or I talk to people out in the street, or whatever you want to call it, I ask them, "Do you believe the Bible is the word of God? That what it says is God's word without error?" If they say no, I still present the gospel just so they can be introduced to it, but I know they're not going to get saved.
Yeah.
I mean, if they really mean it, they don't believe this, because we're told right there it won't work.
Right.
It says it effectually worketh also in you that believe. Believe what? Believe that this is the word of God and not the word of men. And that's why I say liberals cannot be saved until they repent of being liberals.
Yeah.
By definition, a liberal does not believe in absolute truth, which means they can't believe in this.
Amen.
It's illogical to even say that it could happen. You don't believe in absolute truth. Therefore, you can't believe in the Bible. The Bible must be believed as absolute truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what do they believe? They believe, oh, it's a holy book, but it's just men, holy men, ancient. They make it sound as good as they can. Ancient holy men wrote these things, but it's not necessarily God's word. Yes.
All all truth, no errors, and complete. That's what makes it the absolute word of God.
And if you don't believe in absolute truth, there's no hope.
It's worthless.
See that? Now, we still preach the gospel, but if you can, that's the kind of person you need to challenge.
Yep.
And show them.
Well, why did I show them?
Well, for starters, you show them the prophecies in the Bible that cannot be explained apart from God having given them to man.
Amen.
And that's when you can, that once they, like the 70th week of Daniel, for example, and showing the messianic prophecies that began with the fall in Genesis 3, fulfilled exactly by Jesus Christ. That's the main prophecies. Then you show them what's happening now right before your eyes that's fulfilling Scripture. Right before their eyes, they're seeing Bible prophecy come true. And then they'll start to realize, wow, this book really isn't like other books. And then you pray for them and tell them. Now, pray that God will help you to understand His Word. And I believe that works. People say, God doesn't hear the prayer of the unsaved. He does too. Number one, you know, there have been unsaved people who pray. You know, I want to know. I want to send somebody to help me.
Mm-hmm.
And God, He's not going to answer their prayer to make, you know, I want to be rich and famous. You know, well, He's not going to answer that one. But how many unsaved people have been about to drown or bleeding to death or something like that? And they say, God, help me, save me. I want to know You. I don't want to die without You. And He saves them. People give these testimonies. So, I don't recommend you remain unsaved and try to pray and get answers, but God does hear those prayers. Look over at James 1:21. James 1:21. This is one of those verses where, I tell you, if you're out there, you're homeschooling your kids, or you're going to homeschool kids, I'm telling you, if you want them to have high levels of reading comprehension, you read the King James Bible with those kids. They will also get all the other fringe benefits of having the Word of God, etc. But in addition to that, really the fringe benefit is the fact that they will learn and have a vocabulary that is missing in most people today.
I'll tell you, we got evidence in this room, and you know, Matt and Charlie, your girls,
when my girls were homeschooled, but because of some personal issues and everything, they had to go to public schools for a couple of years. And when they went to two different schools. And both times, when they enter, they give you a test to find out where you should be. All three of the girls were two or three grades higher than the rest of their class in reading skills. They hardly read anything. Mariah read more, but the other two hardly read anything, really. But what did they do? They read the Bible with their old man. They read the King James Bible. And the teacher said, well, what did you do with those kids? I told them, we read the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. Of course, they're never going to do that in schools because they don't care about kids. They care about their agenda.
Yeah.
And that's why they won't read the King James Bible with those kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You gave them an unfair advantage.
Yes. As Christian privilege.
That's right.
Johnny.
I just wanted to mention a thing that, you know, people, you know, lost people calling out for help before they die. God will only listen, though, if they're sincere.
Well,
I know there are many.
That's why He knows, and that's, yeah.
But recently, there's many places in the Bible where God says, you know, you'll call and I won't listen.
Yes. Good point. Good to mention that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point, though, He heard.
Yes.
He just doesn't always answer the way they hope.
Yeah.
Look at James 1:21 now. This is the reason I mentioned that about reading comprehension and everything. It says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity.
Yes.
Superfluity. Superfluous. You ever heard that?
Probably.
Superfluous. Superfluous.
Yeah.
Yeah, not ish. I read it all the time. If you get older books, you read those words all the time. These poor modern educators aren't teaching the kids to know these words, and that's why they can't read the good old books. And naughtiness, obviously, is one you're familiar with. Read that with me, verse 21. Wherefore, wait a minute, everybody pay attention. Read this with me, verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Superfluity, it just kind of is what it sounds like. It's a whole lot of... what? Naughtiness. Filthiness. According to context, a whole lot of what?
Naughtiness.
Naughtiness in this case.
It's like more than it needs, and it's like all over the place.
It's our culture. Our culture. It's filth. I mean, we turned on a movie last night. Peter Falk was in it. And we watched Columbo, you know, so we love Columbo. But this was another movie he made. Almost everything they talked about had some relation to fornication or adultery or whatever. We're like, okay. You know.
Yeah, Martha agreed.
Turn off.
Martha is online and agreed with the pronunciation.
Oh, thank you.
Hold on, mine or his?
What did you say?
Superfluous. Yeah, superfluous. He was saying ish, like superfluous.
And it, like I said, it kind of looks like what it is. I mean, super meaning big, huge amount, you know. So, but the point is, it says, lay aside, lay apart all those things. And receive with meekness what?
The engrafted word.
The engrafted, which is what?
Able to save
your soul. You see that? It's got to be the word of God. So many ministries get off on crazy ideas about how to reach people. And there's a fella, you know, I like him. I know he's a good Christian. But he was raising money so that he could run ads and papers and stuff and just put the word Jesus. And he seemed just perplexed when I said, you know, that's a waste of money. Why? Because every Mormon will see that and think of their Jesus. And every New Ager will see that and think of their Jesus. And every Jehovah's Witness will see that and think of Michael the Archangel. You know? God didn't say just run around saying the name of Jesus. He said preach the gospel.
I was
going to
say also, some people just use Jesus as
cuss word. Yeah.
Like, why did he cuss like a
newspaper? The point is, it, what's going to save somebody? They must believe this book is God's book.
Amen.
And they must receive it as the word of who?
God.
God. And then they will believe your gospel message and can be saved. Otherwise, it's just not going to happen.
Amen.
So back to our text in verse 18. Romans 11:18. But I say, I love that. Yeah, that's English, King James English. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth and their words unto the ends of the world. Now, there's some difficulty with this verse on the surface because people say, well, it hasn't been preached to the whole world. Well, I think it says, verily, their sound went into all the earth. It means that it was available to all the earth, even in the Old Testament. Look at 2 Chronicles. And I believe that just like the Queen of Sheba, of course, she had extraordinary means. But I believe that anybody, anywhere who wanted to know God, as Johnny just talked about how God knows your heart. God knows your heart and he will get the word to you. We talk about how many missionaries have this overwhelming burden. And then when they get to where they've been burdened to go, they're waiting for it.
Yeah.
Well, 2 Chronicles 15. It says there, verse 1, and the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, one of the best kings and one of our favorite dogs, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you.
Amen.
Read the verses 3 and 4 with me. Now for a long season Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. That's like living in America today. You're still without excuse. There's so much apostasy. People are turning away from God and everything. But if you will seek him, So we can rest assured that those who seek God, God comes to them. Of course, we read that back in Romans 1. Look at Romans 1 again. And verses 19 through 21. And this is actually referring back to the time of the Old Testament. Beginning of verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Read verses 20 and 21. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Read 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and so forth. They became idolatrous and everything, and sexual perversion and everything. That's exactly what's happening here in America. So, when it says that the gospel has gone forth, it is the availability of the gospel is everywhere. And today, it's even more so. It's been that way for, I don't know, my whole life. You have Trans World Radio and all these radio ministries who blast gospel in 100 different languages. Just one ministry. J. Vernon McGee's ministries in more than 100 languages around the world. And if you listen to that, you get the gospel. Then you think of the Billy Graham, Louise Palau, some of these people, some of whom we don't even endorse their ministries, but yet we can admit that they got the gospel out. Even TBN and Daystar, some of these terrible Christian TV stations, 90% of what they have is garbage, but they do have shows where the gospel is preached. Reaches into countries all around the world.
Amen.
If people want to hear it. And here in America, you know, it's just amazing how much, you know, they go to any store and spend a buck and get a King James Bible.
Amen.
So Israel would not hear God's word. So God turned to the Gentiles. That's what it says, verse 19. Read that. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Now, no people meaning that Gentiles, they're just a bunch of tribes and nations and everything, but they're just a big mess. Times 57. That's what people say. What's your race? What race are you? Well, they call us white, but I mean, we're Heinz 57, man. We're like a bunch of mutts running around. You know, we're Americans, you know, the melting pot.
True.
So verse 20, read that. But Esaias is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not for me. So there were Gentiles like Cornelius, but the people around him benefited. His own family, a lot of them probably benefited from Cornelius, and God got the gospel to him. And every time God sends the gospel, like there's missionaries, they go to places where people are waiting for them, that then all kinds of people around them benefit from that. And that's what happened.
So they weren't seeking, but they were.
Yeah. They were Naaman. How many people are saved because of Naaman in the Old Testament? Went back to his pagan country, but how many people got saved because of it?
We'll find out.
We will. So let's close in verse 21. Read that with me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. And that basically, sadly, he's talking about Israel. And they continue to this day to be disobedient and gainsaying people. And I always have to clarify this. The government of Israel is just as wicked as the government of the United States of America.
Yeah, amen.
Filled with what we call deep state. They're basically one world globalists and Masons and people like that. And very few Jews in Israel believe in Jesus Christ. And it's a wicked nation. Tel Aviv is as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. You talk about San Francisco, Tel Aviv's worse than that. But it's not our place to condemn them. It's not our country's place to be enemies with them. We should support their right to that country and recognize that it's setting up the stage for the return of Jesus Christ. If you try to run the Jews out of Israel, you're an enemy of God. Why? Because God has told us in His Word, they're going to be there. They're going to have a temple. It's going to be a perverted temple. And then the Antichrist is going to walk in 3.5 years into the tribulation and declare himself to be God, and all kinds of crazy things are going to happen. Read Revelation 12 and elsewhere. Israel, we support them, but we can't be blinded. A lot of these evangelicals just act like Jews are saved because they're Jews. No, if they reject Jesus Christ, they'll go to hell.
Yeah.
You still preach the gospel to the Jews and the Gentiles.
Amen.
But stiff neck and all, get used to them saying no. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. Thank you for what we're learning and that we will continue to learn until we're taken out of here. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, our guide and our teacher. And prepare our hearts as we get ready for more fellowship and singing and Bible study and prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Let's see. Hi, Jesus.